We're going to read again. We'll read from the Old Testament, reading from the book of 1 Kings, chapter 19, and we'll read from verse 1 through to verse 18. So that's 1 Kings, chapter 19, starting from verse 1, and you'll find that on page 355 of the Pew Bibles. Elijah on Mount Sinai. King Ahab told his wife Jezebel everything that Elijah had done, and how he had put all the prophets of Baal to death. She sent a message to Elijah. May the God strike me dead if by this time tomorrow I don't do the same thing to you that you did to the prophets. Elijah was afraid and fled for his life. He took his servant and went to Beersheba in Judah. Leaving the servant there, Elijah walked a whole day into the wilderness. He stopped and sat down in the shade of a tree, and he wished he would die. It's too much, Lord, he prayed. Take away my life. I might as well be dead. He lay down under the tree and fell asleep. Suddenly an angel touched him and said, wake up and eat. He looked around and saw a loaf of bread and a jar of water near his head. He ate and drank and lay down again. The Lord's angel returned and woke him up a second time, saying, get up and eat, or the trip will be too much for you. Elijah got up, ate and drank, and the food gave him enough strength to walk 40 days to Sinai, the holy mountain. There he went into a cave to spend the night. Suddenly the Lord spoke to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? He answered, Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. Go out and stand before me on top of the mountain, the Lord said to him. Then the Lord passed by and sent a furious wind that split the hills and shattered the rocks. But the Lord was not in the wind. The wind stopped blowing, and then there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. After the earthquake, there was a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, there was the soft whisper of a voice. When Elijah heard it, he covered his face with his cloak, and he went out and stood at the entrance of the cave. A voice said to him, Elijah, what are you doing here? He answered, Lord God Almighty, I have always served you, you alone. But the people of Israel have broken their covenant with you, torn down your altars and killed all your prophets. I am the only one left, and they are trying to kill me. The Lord said, return to the wilderness near Damascus. Then enter the city and anoint Hazael as king of Syria. Anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king of Israel, and anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat, from Abel-Meholah, to succeed you as prophet. Anyone who escapes being put to death by Hazael will be killed by Jehu, and anyone who escapes Jehu will be killed by Elisha. Yet I will leave 7,000 people alive in Israel, all those who are loyal to me, and who have not bowed to Baal or kissed his idol. Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our Rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, as Francis said a few minutes ago, we're well into now a serious look at the subject of prayer and the different types of prayer. So tonight we are looking at the subject of listening in prayer. Mother Teresa once said on the subject, there is no life of prayer without silence. If we really want to pray, we must first learn to listen. For in the silence of the heart, God speaks. If you really want to learn to pray, keep silence. Mother Teresa understood that prayer is a means of communication, which involves a two-way conversation. But perhaps at times we all concentrate on speaking or asking God, rather than listening. As was once rather abruptly pointed out to me, God gave you 2 ears, but only 1 mouth. Do the maths. But God has spoken throughout history. He spoke to Adam and Eve, he spoke to Noah, Abraham, Samuel, the apostles, the list goes on and on. And the Bible teaches us the importance of listening. In Matthew's Gospel, the Father told Peter, James and John to listen to his Son. Jesus began the parable of the sower by telling his followers to listen to him. We should expect God to speak to us, yet listening doesn't always come easy to us. So tonight I'd like to suggest ways in which we may learn to hear God's voice. And the Old Testament passage that we just read may yield some clues. In that passage from Kings, Elijah has just taken on 450 prophets of the false god Baal, and he has won. But afterwards he's tired, depressed, and it sounds like he's worn out. He then receives, in effect, a death threat. Jezebel, as we would say today, takes out a contract on him, and he takes flight. He runs away, and he initially settles under a tree where God refreshes him with food and rest. He then goes on to take refuge in a cave. He is alone, friendless, and clearly by this point at the end of his tether. But in that cave he underwent a period of quiet introspection and contemplation. He prayerfully listened and he waited for God. "Elijah, what are you doing here?" he eventually heard. There, at the mouth of a cave, in the silence, he met with God. He was not alone after all. God was in the cave with him. Now, we're all made differently from one another, so there's unlikely to be one preferred manner by which God communicates with us. We will each hear God by a different means, but by thinking about Elijah's experience, we can explore the ways that God may talk to us. So let's look at some of those ways. We read that for Elijah, the Lord was not in the wind. Yet many do find prayer comes easier whilst out and about in nature. They experience closeness with God through the glory of a sunrise or a sunset, in the colours of a rainbow, or by hearing the sounds of birdsong. Have you ever noticed how the vastness and the diversity of our world can really put things into perspective for us? Standing on a mountain top, problems which once consumed us can suddenly seem so trivial. Theologian John Drane, who lectures in Glasgow these days, often talks of creation-centred spirituality being a central element of our experience of God, and that observation of the natural world leads us into personal encounters with God. As he points out, some find God in the wind. For Elijah, the Lord was not in the earthquake. Yet many turn to prayer and hear God most clearly during moments of crisis and disaster. Perhaps it's because at such times our focus shifts as our lives, normally filled with certainty, are turned upside down or shaken to their very core. Then we are more likely than ever to search for something beyond our own capabilities. A few years back, I found myself watching the rolling news coverage of 33 Chilean miners who were trapped underground following a copper mine cave-in. They were buried for 69 days, and much of that time they were cut off and isolated from the outside world. They were uncertain as to whether they would ever be rescued. One of the miners, a 19-year-old called Jimmy Sanchez, wrote in a letter penned during their ordeal, "There were actually 34 of us, because God has never left us down here." He told that the miners prayed as a group, and they remained convinced throughout that God was in the mine with them. Some, it seems, find God in the earthquake. For Elijah, the Lord was not in the fire. Well, we often associate the metaphor of fire with the Holy Spirit. In the book of Acts, the Pentecost Spirit is likened to tongues of fire and represents the Spirit of God. God speaks to us all, but sometimes it may seem a bit like a radio broadcast. We're all capable of receiving the signal, yet some find it easier than others to tune into the proper frequency. Sometimes our minds are elsewhere, and we tune into the wrong station entirely. Or we suffer the interference or static noise from all the distractions around us. So given that we're all wired differently, then it's natural that some will have a more heightened awareness of God's presence than others. That's to be expected. But there is a process which is called Lectio Divina, which is Latin for divine reading. And that might help us to discover the spiritual rhythms around us. It's something that we can practice. It's actually a traditional Benedictine practice of reading the Bible, contemplating and reflecting on what we read, and then praying and really tune the verses over in our mind. And it can be practiced by just taking a short verse and thinking it over and over so that gradually its many layers of meaning are revealed. The aim is to slowly seek God in the quietness of our mind and listen for him. And in this way, some find God in the fire. And while on the subject of scripture, we don't need to become Bible scholars to recognise God's voice, but the more time we spend reading our Bibles, then the more we are bound to get to know of God's character, and that will help us to recognise him. In fact, God often speaks to us directly through his word. After all, it is a living word which is as relevant today as it always was. How many times have we opened up a Bible to find that even the most familiar passages, which we may have read and reread throughout the years, suddenly speak straight into our present circumstances with newfound meaning? Some find God in his word. So, returning to our passage, if Elijah didn't hear God in the wind, or the earthquake, or the fire, where did he hear him? We read that he heard God in the soft whisper of a voice, or as a still, small voice. Like many, I suspect, Elijah expected to encounter God in dramatic manifestations, but often we find God in less dramatic surroundings. God often speaks to us by perfectly natural means. For example, sometimes through the voices and actions of other people. Some encounter God through others. Elijah, though, heard God in solitude and in the silence. However, silence isn't something we're that good at these days. We tend to surround ourselves with noise and we're subjected as a result to sensory overload. It's getting harder for us to stop and listen. Is God there, but we are unknowingly drowning him out? Elijah needed that period of solitude, so maybe we need to create some space in our lives. A couple of years ago, I watched a BBC series called The Big Silence with some interest. It featured five volunteers who all had modern high-pressure jobs in stressful trades, and they all lived hectic lives surrounded by noise. The noise of the internet, mobile phones, radios, television, the list goes on. They were not religious people, in fact some were positively anti-religion, but they were aware of something profoundly missing from their lives. They just didn't seem to be complete, and they were looking for an opportunity to find a more spiritual dimension. So they entered an 8-day retreat, and the cameras observed them as they underwent an intense total immersion period of silence. And the programme sought to determine if that retreat led to any fundamental change to their perception and to their experience of life. Most initially resisted and even rebelled against the enforced silence. They found it really difficult to get used to. But eventually they all experienced some sort of spiritual revelation. At first they described sensing a vague presence within, an awareness of something bigger than themselves, something they couldn't quite define. When asked if they had sensed God, they answered with a tentative, "Yes, probably." But by the end of the retreat, four of the five had described a very tangible, real experience of encountering and hearing God. One of the volunteers, a 55-year-old businessman called John, stated, "I had my first brief conversation with God this morning. I don't care if you think I'm mad. I don't care if they lock me up. I noticed a voice in my head. No American accent, nothing fancy, just a soft, gentle voice. Whilst you have been looking, I have been here, and I have always been here. You just weren't listening, the voice said. And others in the group told of similar encounters. Following that retreat, the group went back to the outside world, but they realised the ongoing need for silence in their lives, and the series continued to follow them for a couple of weeks more as they faced the challenge of finding quiet time, of forging out a space in their busy routine. Now, we don't necessarily need to go through a prolonged retreat, but we do face the same challenge they did of finding some quiet time in the hustle and bustle of our daily life. We can benefit from even 20 or 30 minutes a day set aside just to be silent, to put God first and to listen for him. We might choose to come here, come to the church where we can use this place in solitude and stillness. Or we may find somewhere we can go out in nature for a walk, just enjoy nature and be with God there. Perhaps we simply find a quiet spot in our own home, a favourite comfy chair, just some place we can be still, uninterrupted, and listen. In that way, some of us will find God in the silence. Now, however and wherever we listen, perhaps we shouldn't set our expectations too high to begin with. We may need to be patient. We read tonight that Elijah was tired and he needed rest and refreshment. Even then, he had to wait before he encountered God. I am sure we can all think of times when, no matter how hard we try, we struggle to recall a name or a particular piece of information. And then hours later, when we're thinking about something completely different, the information randomly pops back into our head. So it might be helpful when we've asked God a question not to always expect an answer from him there and then. Instead, if we go and do something else, we may be surprised just how often an answer later unexpectedly arrives. And we may also wonder, how will we know it's really God's voice if and when we do hear it? How will we recognise him? Well, I can't help but think of the example of a dog. I am not a pet owner, I don't know if any of you are, but I've often noticed that a dog always recognises its owner's voice and will come running when called. Yet, when summoned by a stranger or a visitor, the dog remains completely disinterested. In our Gospel reading, which Francis read earlier, Jesus used a similar illustration, one of a shepherd and their sheep. Back in those days, shepherds didn't use dogs to drive their sheep to a pen the way that they do today. The shepherd led the sheep from the front and often called them by name. The sheep learned to recognise the voice, and they would readily follow the shepherd, but no one else. As followers of Jesus, we can learn to recognise his voice as we spend more time with him. Finally, we should recognise too that there is a distinction between just hearing God and actually listening to him. What do I mean? Well, all may hear to some extent, but not everyone will actually listen and heed what is said. We should expect to be changed, be ready to respond, and be prepared to act when God speaks. That's what Elijah did. Elijah could have stayed hidden away in that cave, discouraged and worn out, but when he heard God, he responded. Previously exhausted and discouraged, he was refreshed, renewed and reinvigorated. He was able to leave the cave, we can only imagine, with a spring in his step, with newfound encouragement and with purpose. And from there he went on to act on what he had been told, to find and anoint his successor, and to be a mentor to Elisha, who would continue his work. So, just to conclude and to summarise, there are many ways in which we may learn to listen to God in our prayer lives. Elijah encountered God not in the wind or earthquake or fire, not in the big dramatic revelation of his presence, but in a still, small voice, a whisper from within. We can all expect to hear God in different ways at different times. Some of us might primarily hear God through study or reading. Others will hear God whilst out and about enjoying nature. And others still will find God in the silence, perhaps in their reflection and contemplation. God spoke to Elijah, and no matter how we hear him, God still speaks today. When we are alert and attentive, then his words will offer us strength, encouragement, comfort, and guidance. We will learn that listening to God is a precursor to walking with God. Let's pray. Lord, when you speak, things happen. Transformation occurs. The created world around us is restored and renewed. People who have endured suffering, hurt and pain undergo healing. The broken and the lonely, those with no place or no one to turn to, find friendship and reconciliation. People once held captive by addiction or fear are set free. The lost receive hope and salvation. Your voice is a living word by which our lives are changed. So help us to slow down and find space in our lives that we might empty ourselves of any self-centeredness and all preoccupations and patiently listen for your voice. Speak to us both in the storms of life and in the calm. And give us an increased awareness to you acting in the ordinary circumstances of our day, as well as in life's unexpected and unpredictable turns. Help us, like Elijah, to be patient whilst listening for your voice, to be able to recognise it when we do hear it, and be ready to act upon it so that your will is done through us. Today, Lord, and in the days ahead, speak to us. Amen.